Welcome to our growth summary of Make Your Bed by Admiral William H. McRaven. This book shares lessons that the author learned as a Navy SEAL. It's all about how small habits, like making your bed every morning, can lead to bigger successes in life. It also teaches us how to stay strong during tough times, how to work well with others, and how to never give up. So the author is Admiral William H. McRaven, a former Navy SEAL who organized the mission to catch Osama bin Laden, one of the most important operations in U.S. history. He was in charge of special military missions all over the world and received awards for his bravery and leadership. After retiring, he gave a famous graduation speech about life lessons, which inspired this best-selling book, as well as his other books. So, the first key theme or takeaway of this book is number one, start small, build confidence. Making your bed every morning creates discipline and momentum, giving you a sense of control to start your day strong. Many of the best self-help books highlight the power of starting with one small positive habit. And that may feel unimportant at first in the grand scheme of things, but the benefits of starting with a small thing really build up over time. James Clear calls these atomic habits, and you can't get much smaller than an atom. Another author, Jordan Peterson, urges us to clean your room, explaining how transforming one small area of your life from chaos to order builds your confidence to confront other dragons in our lives. So jumping into our summary of chapter one of this book. So the first chapter of Make Your Bed is all about beginning each day with a little win. This is a simple way to set a positive tone and get everything else moving in the right direction. So the first point is about the discipline of making your bed. In the Navy SEAL training, McRaven had to make his bed perfectly every morning. The creases had to be straight, the blankets tucked tight, and neat enough for a quarter to bounce off the top of the bed sheets. His uniform also had to be starched and spotless, with perfectly polished shoes and a gleaming belt buckle. And that represented a small win even in the middle of chaos, as being a soldier could often be. In his 37 years in the military and as a Navy SEAL, training and combat were often grueling and unpredictable, so making his bed gave this author a small sense of control and accomplishment, even when everything else felt out of control. It's a reminder that no matter how hard the day might be, he could always start with something small, a positive win that was within his control, and we can do the same. Now, I'll connect this to another book, In the Power of Habit. The journalist Charles Duhigg talks about keystone habits. That's the idea that adopting a small, seemingly unimportant positive habit can often create a domino effect in your life, transforming how you approach everything else. For example, researchers found that people who commit to regular exercise often unconsciously begin doing other good habits too, like eating healthier, smoking less, and even being more productive at work. A keystone habit, such as exercise, improves our self-discipline and decision-making, and those are traits which can carry over into all areas of our lives. So you can read more about that in our summary of The Power of Habit. Here's a quick workbook exercise that you can fill out on a sheet of paper or on Growth Summary, and you'll get a response from an AI-powered coach. So here's the question. What is one small task you could start your day with? For example, making your bed, washing your face, a 5-minute meditation or prayer. How do you think you will feel differently after doing that every single day for 1 week? Now that brings us to the second key takeaway of this book, which is to lean on others. Success depends on teamwork, both in life and war. Whether you're carrying a rubber boat in SEAL training or raising a family, you must lean on others. Now, Steve Jobs, co-founder of Apple, was a famously intense leader with extremely high standards that were often tough for others to meet. So while he could be hard to get along with, he believed very strongly in the power of cooperation and teamwork. He once said, "Great things in business are never done by one person, they're done by a team of people." And I think that echoes Adam Smith's classic insight in The Wealth of Nations when he talked about how the division of labor increases productivity. A team of specialists working together will always outperform an individual trying to do everything alone. So that brings us to our summary of chapter 2. And this one is all about how you can't do it all by yourself. Having a team and support from others is what makes the biggest difference, usually. So the first point in this chapter is learning the importance of teamwork. During Navy SEAL training, McRaven and 6 teammates had to carry a heavy rubber boat everywhere. Now, if one person was sick or injured, as they often were, the rest of the teammates stepped up. They tried harder and put in more effort to make up for their sick or injured teammate, and they knew that one day they would need the same support from others too. So life is like carrying that boat. You can't do it alone. So this author tells us to build strong connections with friends, family, and a partner because they'll be there to help when challenges inevitably arise. So the next story in this chapter is about a near-fatal accident that the author had that proved to him the value of support. So it was 25 years after his Navy SEAL training as a high-ranking Navy captain. McRaven had a parachuting accident. He jumped out, and just before he was about to pull his own chute, he collided with another jumper's parachute at 120 miles per hour. He almost went unconscious, but was able to pull his chute, but the ropes got caught on his legs, and so the crash ended up tearing apart his stomach muscles, and he required surgery with titanium plates and screws to heal from it, and that left him bedridden for 2 months. During that time, his wife, George Ann, became his nurse and biggest supporter, and most of all, she pushed him to never give up. So McRaven says that throughout his life, he succeeded because others believed in him and were willing to take a risk to help him move forward. The next chapter, number 3, is all about how determination and grit matter more than your size or appearance. So the first point, strength isn't about size. During his SEAL training, McRaven stood next to a 5'4" man as huge waves crashed on the shore. And there was a 6-foot-tall instructor who was mocking the shorter man, saying that the waves would break him. But the man confidently replied, "I won't give up." And by the end of that exercise, a grueling swim, the man ended up near the front of the group, proving that toughness isn't about physical size, it's about inner strength. And much of SEAL training was all about that, proving doubters wrong by showing what you're capable of. Next point is, don't judge by appearances. And here's another story. Before starting SEAL training, McRaven saw a thin, frail-looking man at the training building and assumed he was another wannabe trainee. And he assumed that man would be easily rejected by the SEALs because the SEALs must fight in brutal conditions like jungle and deep mud, and the man appeared too weak. But then, after talking to a SEAL instructor for a few minutes, that instructor introduced him to the thin man, who turned out to be Tom Norris, a Medal of Honor recipient who had rescued airmen behind enemy lines during the Vietnam War and later joined the FBI's first hostage rescue team. Norris was yet another example proving that heart and determination matter far more than physical traits. So we have another workbook exercise. Think of one current challenge you have. Write down the name of someone you trust who could help and briefly describe the kind of support you need that you might request from them. Now we have the key takeaway number 3, which is to push through failure. During SEAL training, failing meant extra punishment. Many quit, but those who endured grew stronger. So failure is a chance to improve. I think the philosophy of Stoicism offers us powerful mental tools for dealing with life's uncertainties. It teaches that some things are within our control, like our thoughts and actions, while other things, like other people's behavior or the weather, are not. And so strength and peace of mind come from focusing on what we can change and accepting what we cannot. To learn more about that very practical philosophy, check out our summaries of the books by Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, and Epictetus. Those are classic Stoic philosophers. And now we have our summary of chapter 4, which is all about accepting that life isn't fair and choosing to keep moving forward anyway. So the first point is about the sugar cookie lesson during SEAL training. So during the training, McRaven and other trainees were punished frequently by being made to be a sugar cookie. What does that mean? He had to sprint into the ocean fully clothed until he was drenching wet from the water, and then he had to roll in the sand until he was completely covered by sand, head to toe. Then the trainees had to spend all day uncomfortably covered in sand as a sugar cookie. Now, what made this most frustrating is there was often no reason for the punishment. The point was to teach the trainees a hard truth of life, that it isn't always fair. Even when you do everything right, things that you don't want to happen can still happen, and you have to keep going. And this was difficult for many SEAL trainees to accept, as they expected that if they put in their best effort, they would be rewarded. But life is often unfair. So here's another story in the chapter. It was a year later, and McRaven's SEAL instructor, who had told him to run in and be a sugar cookie, he was named Lieutenant Moki Martin. And he loved to go cycling for dozens of miles every morning down the coast. And one morning, he was seriously injured in a cycling accident. Overnight, this lieutenant went from being an outstanding athlete to being paralyzed from the waist down. But instead of feeling sorry for himself, Moki focused on what he could do and control, including raising his daughter and organizing SEAL triathlons, and he never complained. So he demonstrated to this author that greatness isn't about avoiding challenges, but it's about how we face life's hardness and unfairness. And that's also demonstrated by the famous great figures we all know about, like Nelson Mandela and Helen Keller. Now, I'm going to connect this to another book, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor E. Frankl, is based on that author's experiences being a Holocaust survivor. Frankl was a Jewish psychiatrist imprisoned in Nazi concentration camps, where he lost his parents, wife, and brother. During that unimaginable tragedy, Frankl noticed something very curious. It was that some prisoners were able to find the strength to keep going, and they did it by finding meaning, whether that meaning was a child waiting for them outside the camp, important work they hoped to return to, which was Frankl's meaning, or even enduring the suffering with dignity. And he also saw that those who could not find meaning often lost their will to live. So he wrote in that book, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way." So to learn more about that, check out our summary of Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl on Growth Summary. That brings us to chapter 5. This one is all about how failure can be an opportunity to learn and grow stronger if we refuse to give up. So the first point in this chapter is how failure leads into improvement. During the SEAL training, McRaven and his swim buddy, who was named Mark Thomas, came in last during a swim, and for that they were punished with something called the circus. That was 2 extra hours of brutal physical training at the end of the day. Now, the circus was dreaded because it left many trainees too exhausted to perform well the next day, so they were punished again, and that created a vicious cycle that caused many to drop out. But McRaven and Thomas kept going. After enduring multiple circus sessions, their swimming improved so much from the extra physical exercises that in their final 5-mile swim, they finished in first place, earning high praise from their instructors. And there's another story. Years later, McRaven was removed from his SEAL squadron for trying to change procedures that his bosses didn't agree with. So with a damaged reputation, he could have given up, but instead, he tried again. He took an assignment at a small outpost, leading a team of just 12 men, and by working hard and giving his best every day, he earned back respect as a leader, first with that small group, and then over time rising through the ranks again, eventually leading major missions during the Iraq War, saving hostages, capturing pirates, and eventually becoming a 4-star admiral. The lesson here is that everyone fails, but what matters most is how we respond. It matters to keep going and don't let the setbacks define you. So here's another workbook exercise. Describe one failure you've experienced recently in a sentence or two. What is one thing you could do differently next time to do it better? Okay, now we have the fourth key takeaway, which is to face your fears. Courage becomes stronger with practice, whether tackling a tough challenge, standing up to a bully, or swimming through shark-infested waters at night. So this next part of the book is, I think, actually quite close to the science-based approach to fear. You see, cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT for short, is considered the gold standard treatment for anxiety disorders. And that has two parts. The first part is the cognitive part, which focuses on how our thoughts create our emotions. So by recognizing and challenging our negative thoughts, we can change how we feel. And the second is the behavioral part, which involves facing fears through exposure therapy. This means gradually confronting what scares you step by step in a safe and controlled way. And over time, by doing that, we realize that the fear wasn't as bad as we thought, replacing anxiety and avoidance with confidence. So there's parts of this book which really mirror that second part of cognitive behavioral therapy. And that brings us to our summary of chapter 6, which is all about how taking smart risks can help us reach our full potential. So the first point here is about taking risks to improve our performance. During SEAL training, McRaven struggled with an obstacle course, particularly an obstacle called the Slide for Life. That was a 30-foot-high tower with a thick nylon rope which led to the ground. So at first, this author played it safe. He would climb up on the rope and then inch his way down slowly, feet first, while hanging underneath the rope. But there was a much faster way to go down, which was by climbing on top of the rope and then sliding down head first. A veteran instructor told McRaven that he'd never succeed and meet the standard time performance time without taking some risks. So one day, he let go of his fear and McRaven tried sliding headfirst, and he nailed it, earning that instructor's respect and improving his performance. Much later in life, while in Iraq during the war, McRaven approved a daring daytime mission to rescue 3 hostages. The plan involved landing directly in the compound where the hostages were being held, which carried high risks. He took the risk and approved the mission because the hostages were soon to be taken somewhere else and they would likely be killed very soon. So, one helicopter during the mission clipped a wall. But despite that, the mission was a success, and all 3 hostages were saved. Inspired by the British Special Air Service motto, which is, "Who dares, wins," McRaven believes that taking calculated risks is essential to push our limits and find out what we're capable of achieving. That brings us to Chapter 7, which highlights the importance of showing courage when confronting bullies and tyrants. First point is about facing our fears to achieve a goal. During SEAL training, again, McRaven had to swim 4 miles at nighttime in shark-infested waters. The fear of great white sharks was overwhelming to him and his swim buddy, but their goal of becoming Navy SEALs, which was a goal they saw as noble and worthy, gave them the courage to keep going. And another thing stuck out to him, which was the instructors teaching that if a shark circles you, you never show it fear or swim away. Instead, you want to stand your ground and punch it in the nose with all your strength if it does attack you. That would be the only chance of survival. And that brings us to the second point, which is about standing up to real bullies. After Saddam Hussein, known as the Butcher of Baghdad, was captured, McRaven noticed how his arrogance and intimidation skills still scared Iraq's new leaders, even though Hussein was behind bars. Over time, with McRaven's assistance, these new leaders gained the courage to stand up to him, and a year later, Saddam was executed. But the key lesson here is that bullies and tyrants always look for weakness, so it takes courage to face them head-on to prevent them from dominating others. Our next chapter is number 8, and that is all about being your best when life feels darkest to provide strength for others. First point is about facing challenges in complete darkness. During the SEAL training, McRaven completed a 2-kilometer underwater mission. It was to plant a dummy mine on a ship in San Diego Bay. So he and the other trainees had to swim in near total darkness, guided only by a small compass lit by a dim green light. And once they made it underneath the ship, it would be pitch black, and they had to stay calm and focused to avoid getting lost. It was a very risky and dangerous mission. But the key takeaway is, when life is at its darkest, you need to remain strong amidst fear and uncertainty. And there's a second point about strength in the darkest moments. So in Iraq and Afghanistan, McRaven attended many ramp ceremonies honoring fallen soldiers. These solemn events began with troops forming 2 lines along the open ramp of a C-17 aircraft. A Humvee slowly brought the flag-draped coffin to the plane, while a small band played Amazing Grace. Despite the overwhelming grief, those present stood tall, showing immense dignity, strength, and courage to honor their fallen comrades. Now, I'm going to connect this book to another book. As we've been hearing, the Navy SEAL training pushes recruits through their physical and mental limits. And if you want to hear even more stories about the intensity of the SEAL training, you can look into David Goggins. Goggins was 106 pounds overweight, unhappy in marriage, and working as an exterminator of rats and cockroaches. So one day, he was on his sofa chugging a chocolate shake when he saw an inspirational military ad that made him decide to try out for the Navy SEALs. So at first, he could barely run for a minute. He was over 100 pounds overweight, remember. But slowly, through repeated effort, he got used to the new pain of exercise, and it stopped feeling painful for him. He began eating more veggies and making other changes and losing the weight. Eventually, David Goggins became a Navy SEAL. He began running 100-plus-mile ultramarathons and even achieved a pull-up world record. His secret? Well, in his autobiography, Goggins says, "You have to build calluses on your brain, just like how you build calluses on your hands through physical effort. Callus your mind through pain and suffering." End quote. So, if you want to learn more about his mindset and self-discipline, check out our summary of Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. Now we have another workbook exercise. Write one sentence about a goal or project you feel stuck on. What is one small action you can take right now to move forward, even by 1%? And that brings us to the final key takeaway or theme of this book, number 5, Inspire Hope. Showing strength gives others the courage to keep going, whether you're a soldier singing in freezing mud or a civilian consoling a grieving family member. We find strength in others, family, friends, or community, and this is backed by science. One of the most fascinating books I've ever read is The Body Keeps the Score, where Dr. Bessel van der Kolk highlights the healing power of united action, like singing, chanting, or moving together. Whether we're recovering from trauma like war or a painful childhood trauma, people heal and grow stronger through shared activity. And that may explain why religious services with their collective rituals are so deeply therapeutic and empowering to so many people. So now we have chapter 9, which is all about the power of hope and showing others that things can get better. First point is hope in the mud. During Hell Week, the hardest part of SEAL training, the author McRaven and his group spent hours neck deep in freezing mud, and that was after days of nonstop punishment and lack of sleep. Then a trainer came around to the suffering recruits and he offered them hot coffee and soup if just 5 people quit right then. One trainee stood up to leave, but then another trainee began singing, at first in a weak, raspy voice, but then it became stronger, and the singing spread, and soon everyone was singing. That lifted everyone's spirits in that difficult time, and even that trainee returned to the mud. Together, they endured, showing how hope can give people strength to keep going. Next point is hope in deep grief. After a helicopter crash killed 38 men during the War on Terror, the biggest casualty event during the entire war, McRaven met with the grieving families, and he was unsure if his words could help them at all. But while he was there, he watched Lieutenant General John Kelly, and that general had lost his own son in the war, and he was able to walk around the room, console all the families, and he would make a real difference. By sharing how his own family survived the pain and carried on, that general gave others hope that they too could endure and find better days ahead. So we have another workbook exercise. Think of someone who might be struggling. Write one way you could encourage or support them and describe what they might need most right now. And now we have chapter 10, which is all about refusing to give up no matter how tough life gets. So, on the first day of SEAL training, an instructor told McRaven and the other 115 new trainees that their lives would be made as hard as possible for the next 6 months. But he also offered them an easy escape. They just had to ring this big brass bell 3 times to quit, and that would mean no more cold swims, no more early mornings or grueling runs. However, this instructor also warned that quitting might feel easier in the moment, but would lead to a lifetime of regret. And it was 6 months later, out of 150 people, only 33 SEALs remained at the end of the training. And from that, McRaven learned that no matter how tough life gets, you should never ring the bell. And there's a second story much later in his career. Adam Bates, a 19-year-old Army Ranger, lost both legs after stepping on a mine during the war. In the hospital, severely injured and with tubes coming from his chest, he sign-languaged, "I will be okay," to the author, because the author didn't know what to tell him. A year later, McRaven saw the young soldier again at a military event. This time, he was standing up tall on prosthetic legs, laughing, and even challenging others around him to a pull-up contest. That young soldier's determination showed that feeling sorry for yourself doesn't make life better. Resilience and strength do. So even in the hardest times, someone else is pushing through tougher challenges, and so we can do it too. Now let's finish up with an implementation checklist. These are a few suggestions on how we could apply this book to our lives starting today. First one, of course, is to make your bed daily. Start your day with a simple win like this to build discipline and a feeling of control and confidence. Second, set one goal each morning. Write down the most important thing to accomplish and focus on completing it. Third, reach out to someone today. Call or text a friend, colleague, or mentor for advice or support. Fourth, delegate one task. Trust someone else with a responsibility you usually handle alone, whether at work or home. Fifth, write down your why. On a sticky note, list your reason for pursuing your goal and keep it visible. Sixth, take one step forward. When overwhelmed, pick one small action you can do right now to keep moving forward. Seventh, reflect on a failure. Write down one recent failure and list what you learned from it. 8. Try again immediately. Take one action today to improve on something you have been struggling with. 9, encourage someone today. Compliment or support someone facing a challenge to lift their spirit. And 10, model resilience. Stay calm and focused on a solution in stressful situations to lead by example.